afternoon to you, and thank you, as always, for supporting Public Radio here at Lakeshore, 89.1 on the dial. And if you're listening to us from points in between and far away, online at lakeshorepublicradio.org, thank you for joining us. This program is all about music and entertainment. We're going to say hello, Christmas. Joining me a little later in the show, Christopher Colley Jones and Stella Rose Hoyt, who are actors and stars of Miracle on 34th Street, the musical. So the Halloween season is now behind us, and we are heading into Christmas. And Miracle on 34th Street, I fell in love with the movie with a young Natalie Wood so many years ago. Well, they've turned it into a musical, and that musical is coming to the region at Theater at the Center in Munster, and it opens up on November 18th. In just a minute or two, we're going to have the young lady that plays Susan Walker. Well, here's a little clip of the Susan character.
Who flew into my sky today? Who sailed into my sea? Who come whistling down my street? Is that your question to me?
Yes.
Well, somebody sure come a-flying, flying much better than you. And somebody sure come a-whistling, prettier tunes than the tunes you do. But no one whistled or sailed or flew with anything like your charm. So let's tune up to your paper comb, turn the corner and head for home. Arm in arm, arm in arm, arm in arm, we're gonna eat mashed potatoes and pie. Arm in arm, save the dishes for tomorrow. I love you.
Arm and arm. That is a song sung by Susan Walker, the character in Miracle on 34th Street, the musical, along with her mother. And playing the role of Susan Walker in the production here in Munster at Theater at the Center is Stella Rose Hoyt. And I believe we have her on the phone. Stella, are you with us?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing wonderful. And especially now that you're on the show, because you bring a little sense of the holidays coming. And we're away from the darkness of Halloween. And we got something bright and happy to look forward to. This is a great production. And I understand that you guys are literally right now in rehearsal. Is that true?
Yeah.
Would you sneak away from the cast and make a quick phone call here?
Yes.
All right. We won't tell Linda Fortunato, who is the executive director on this production. Actually, she knows. But tell us a little bit about yourself, Stella. How long have you been in theater? How old are you, if you don't mind my asking?
I'm 11 years old.
Okay.
And I started doing theater when I was about 4 years old.
How did you get into it? What made you say, I want to do this?
So at my community theater near my house, they were doing a show, and I thought I would try out. And when I got it, it was just super fun to be with all of these super fun people. And I had so much fun just, you know, getting to be on stage in front of different, like, people. And it was just, it was so amazing to be with those people and perform. I just loved it the second I started.
What was that first show you did?
Joseph and the Technical Color Jingle.
Oh, that's a lot of production in that. That's a good song and dance show. Now, are you more prone to do the musicals, or do you like the dramas or the comedies, or do you do a little of everything?
I've only ever done musicals. I've never done a straight play, and I love singing, so I feel like musicals just fit me perfectly, and I love musicals so much.
So you started at 4, you're the ripe old age of 11 now, so you're pretty seasoned. What is it about this play, this musical, Miracle on 34th Street, that made you want to audition? What was it about Susan Walker, the character, that you really like?
She's so much like me. She's very, like, I wouldn't say demanding, but she's also very, like, she thinks, like, she knows what she's talking about. And when her mom is telling her that she couldn't believe in Santa Claus, but she knew a little bit inside of her, well, I do think Santa Claus is real. And she decides at the end that I don't have to believe what my mom wants me to believe. I can believe whatever I want because, mm-hmm. she knows she believes in what she wants to believe. She does what she wants to do, and she doesn't let someone always boss her around.
A real streak of independence there, huh?
Yeah.
Now, did you watch the movie, the old movie with Natalie Wood by chance?
I think I watched a newer one, but okay. With my grandma. Yeah.
That's right. They did remake that a few years back, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder why they have to remake things so many times, but you're right. That got some good reviews as well. Tell me a little bit about this particular production. How long are you guys going to be in rehearsal? I mean, it opens up November 18th. That's only, what, 2-3 weeks away. How much time goes into this?
Well, the rehearsal hours are very long, and this is the second rehearsal that I'm doing, and it's like previews start in a week and a half, so you've got to always be on task. There can't really be any, like, dilly-dallying around, because it opens, you have like 2 weeks of rehearsals, and then you go into previews, and it's very, you know, you have to have your lines memorized, you have to have your songs ready, and we did like a good 8-hour rehearsal of just music, and we've learned almost the entire show just with music.
Right. Now, where are you from? Are you from Northwest Indiana, or are you from Chicago?
I'm Northwest Indiana.
I'm looking a little bit at your short little bio here that they sent me. You've performed at the Mercury Theater, the Oak Lawn Theater. You've traveled quite a bit.
Yeah.
That's got to be tough, going to school and having time for a childhood and still being a professional actor. How do you fit it all in?
It's pretty crazy. Thank goodness all of my teachers this year are very helpful with it. And my languages teacher is always, she has a folder for me with all the work, and I pick up my folder when I'm at school and I do my work. And it's they're just being so nice about it and so on board about it that it kind of just flows in a natural way. And like, just, I was just in the car on my way to rehearsal, and I was doing my homework, and it's just very, I'm very thankful to all my teachers, how they're handling this.
Okay. I've got to wonder, when we're children, our social world is so much important to us, all of our friends and our classmates. What's it like for you to be a celebrity? Because you are. You're playing in major roles. You're playing at Equity Theaters. You are, in fact, very successful as an actress or actor. I don't know which term you use. Do you prefer actor or actress? I always have to ask that with my female guests, because I never quite know which they prefer.
Really care.
Okay.
I get called both.
As long as you get called and you get the gig, you're happy, right?
Yeah.
So how do your friends respond to the fact that, you know, you maybe can't come to their birthday party because you're on stage or you have to go to a rehearsal? And do they come out? Do their parents and them come out and see some of your shows? I mean, is this a good support group with your peers?
Yeah. So actually this year I met a lot of new people at my school, and I've become friends with a lot of people this year, and a lot of those people have already bought tickets for this show, surprisingly.
Good.
And one of my, like, best friends, her birthday was yesterday, and so her party is next weekend, and I sadly probably won't be able to make it to her birthday party, but I was talking to her about it, and of course she was a little disappointed, but at the exact same time, she was very, like, nice to me about it, and she was like, well, at least you're getting to do something that you love to do, and it's... Yeah, and all of my friends at my school are, like, very crazy about, like, the questions I usually get asked are you making money from this? And it's so, it's really funny.
Even at age 11, that's the first question.
Yeah.
I love it.
How much money are you making?
So, well, I'm not going to ask you that question. but I will ask you, how long has it been since you've been professional? And again, Theater at the Center, Munster Performing Arts Center, is the only Equity Theater in Northwest Indiana. And when I say that for the listeners, that means it is a professional paid cast, musicians, mm-hmm. things like that. Everything else is community theater. When did you go from being a novice actor to a professional?
Well, this is my fourth professional show. And the first one I did was actually at Theater at the Center. I was probably about 8 or 9-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I played Molly in Annie Warbucks. And then I went to Victory Gardens, and I played Small Albison in Fun Home. And then I went to Mercury Theater, and I played Mary Claire in The Christmas Schooner. And now I'm doing the show, and it's super, and I love professional theater because, first of all, the rehearsal process isn't that long, and so it just kind of zooms by quickly, and then you get to do the show, and it feels like it goes on forever, and it's so much fun.
The thing that I've always admired about actors, especially stage actors, is the memorization. You have to know all your lines. You also have to know all your cues, which means you have to know the lines of other actors, and you have to hit your blocking, so you have to know where to be when you're saying it, listening to what who's saying what to you. It sounds complicated, and how do you master that? What is your secret for learning your lines and being able to do this? I would lose my mind if I did it once.
Yeah, it's definitely very complicated, but just I'm always looking at my script when I have free time in rehearsal. I'm always, running through lines. I'm always when we're singing and I have few lines in the song, I'm always saying them. And I'm always, when I have the chance to say my line, I'm always saying it to make sure it just comes as, it just flows. And it's very complicated. But after a while, when you just start doing it, it kind of just feels natural. You're like, oh, this is my line now. I say this line. It's complicated, but at the exact same time, after a while, it just is a natural flow.
Well, starting on stage is definitely a boon because television, film, I talked with your director and choreographer, Linda Fortunato, a few weeks ago here on the program, and we were talking about the differences between acting on screen and acting on stage, and that there is no room for error on stage, and if you do make an error, you got to cover it so nobody knows. You can always do retakes in front of a camera. Have you done camera acting at all?
Yes, I've actually done 2 commercials, yeah.
What were you selling on those commercials?
I did a McDonald's commercial, and I did a commercial against the Trump tax.
What was the last one?
It was a political commercial.
Oh, okay, okay. Did you get some free McDonald's out of it, I hope?
Yes.
Gotta love the perks of being an actress. Okay. I've got to ask you, what is the game plan for you? What is your future plans? I mean, you've been doing this for a few years already. You're very, very young. You've got a lot of stuff on your resume already, so obviously you're very good at your craft. Stella, what's next? What is your goal? Do you want to stay on stage? Would you like to become a film actor? What's the goal?
One of my goals is I do really want to be on Broadway one day. But I also want to make it into a TV show or a movie because I think it would be so much fun to get to see the difference between the two. But I do truly, really want to be on Broadway one day. It just sounds so much fun to be in New York. So,
who are your inspirations? And I mean, you can cite adult actresses, of course, or actors or directors. But as far as your age group, who do you look to that is performing that you say, I like what they've done. I've learned from watching so-and-so on a sitcom or in a play. Are there any young actors out there that have served to inspire and influence you?
One of my friends from when I did Fun Home, Sage Harper, we had so much fun together doing it. We were so alike. We both played the exact same part. We just switched on and off on different shows. But she's 3 years older than me, and she has an amazing voice. She's an amazing actor, and I definitely had so much fun with her. And I definitely sometimes look up to her when we were doing theater, or if I had a question for her or something. She always had an answer for me, and it was always so great being.
Okay. Are you from an acting family or an entertainment family by chance? Do your parents play instruments, act, siblings, anything like that?
Yeah, my mom and dad, they actually went to school for theater, and they did a lot of acting throughout childhood and like teenage years. And my mom still does theater now, and it's really cool to actually be part of a theater family because I get to go see their shows, and they get to come see my shows.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever starred in a show together as a family?
Yes. I did Mary Poppins with my mom and my brother, and then I did Fun Home again at the Toll Theater with my mom. It was really fun.
Wow. So the family can get your passion. They understand what drives you then. So they're very tolerant when you need to have that quiet time or that alone time.
Yeah.
And that's mm-hmm. that's always difficult when you're in the arts and you're dealing with people who don't understand what you do and they don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when I was in Fun Home, it's not very a kid-appropriate show. And when I was telling people wanted to know if I was doing anything, and I'd tell them, and I'd be like, well, and they'd be like, oh, where is it? Can I come see it? I was like, well, it's not really a kid-appropriate show. And they'll be like, then why are you in it?
Right.
And they just don't understand that, well, I'm a theater kid. Like, I understand it, and I got it. But they don't understand that because they've never done it before.
I'm older than my years. There you go. last questions here, and I know you got to get back to rehearsal. Well, actually, two questions. What's it like working with Linda as a director? She has got so many accolades and awards, and she's just so very good at her job. What's it like to be a young actor working with someone with that kind of credentials?
She is such an amazing director. I mean, there's no words to describe how amazing she is. She gives us the freedom to do what we feel comfortable on stage, but she also, you know, makes sure to make her show the best it can be. But at the exact same time, she's strict, but she's not, you know, rude about it. I have so much fun when I'm around her, and mm-hmm. she's not the type of director where I go up to her, where I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to rehearsal. I'm afraid to get yelled at. Like, it's not that. I go there and I'm like, I want to go to rehearsal. I have so much fun working with her. And when I did Annie Warbucks at Theater at the Center, she was my director. And I remember I was always so nervous because I always had so many questions. And I was afraid that she would, like, get mad at me for asking all these questions. Mm-hmm. But she didn't. She always had an answer for me. And I never felt, like, embarrassed to go ask her something or scared to go do this or whatever. She just always made me feel so comfortable on stage. She's just an amazing director.
Well, that's a good mentor, director, parent. As they always say, there's no such thing as a stupid question or a bad question as long as you ask it and you learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Very good. Again, we're talking, listeners, to Stella Rose Hoyt. She's 11 years old. She's a seasoned actress. She's starring at Theater at the Center's Miracle on 34th Street, the musical, which opens November 18th. I know I'm going to be there. I'm going to be cheering you on. I'm looking forward to this. Miracle on 34th Street is about the magic of Christmas. And the holidays are all about magical things. What's Christmas mean to you? What is your favorite part of Christmas as a person, not as an actress, no?
The music. I love Christmas music. I just love music as it is, but Christmas music just makes me feel so happy. And I love being able to go, like, during Christmas, like, be in the car with my parents or whatever, and we just turn on the Christmas music and we're all happy. And I love when we're decorating our house for Christmas, we turn on Christmas music. It's just so great. I love Christmas music.
Thank you so much, Stella. It's been a joy to have you on the program. As they say, break a leg.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking with Stella's co-star, Christopher Colley Jones. He has been on this program before. Before we let you go, Stella, anything you want to say to anybody? Any shout-outs or anything?
Just please come see the show because I know it's going to be great.
Spoken like a true professional. Sell that show. That's a P.T. Barnum kind of approach there. All right, we're going to let Stella go. We're going to get Christopher Colley Jones on the program. Last time he was in the area, he was doing Bobby Darin at the theater. And, of course, he's got some great chops. He was a member of Under the Street Lamp. He was also in the National Broadway Tour of Jersey Boys. So we're going to play a song from the original Broadway cast of the program we're talking about, Miracle on 34th Street, the musical. And this one's called Here's Love, Pinecone and Holly Berries. So we're going to get Christopher on the program. Thank you again, Stella.
Pine cones and holly berries, popcorn for you, apples for me, red striped candy, nutcracker handy, kettle a bubbling, holiday tea. Snow clouds hang low and threatening, maybe it won't, praying it may. The brightest fireplace glows in every face, waiting for Christmas Day. There'll be walk-around songs
lines and talk around songs, songs of the inn and stable. There'll be morning time songs and evening time songs and grace at every table. Jingle bells will jingle all the way, all day.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Popcorn for you, apples for me.
There's a
red striped candle, nutcracker handy, kettle a bubbling, holiday tea.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Threatening, may it won't, claim it may, the bright
colors
in every face, waiting for Christmas Day. Waiting for Christmas Day.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Indeed it is, because it's time for Christmas to start rearing its head here in the region. Miracle on 34th Street, the musical, is what we're here to talk about. We just had a wonderful chat with Stella Rose Hoyt. She is a talented young actor, actress, out of Chicagoland in Northwest Indiana. We have, she plays the character, what was her character again? I lost it. Susan Walker, that's it. We now have Fred Gailey's character is joining us, and this is an old friend of the show. He's been in the studio with us before, and I've been following his career for a number of years. Christopher Cayley Jones is making his acting debut at Theater at the Center, and last time he was here, we talked about Bobby Darin. He did the one-man show, Bobby's Biggest Hits, and again, it was an amazing performance, and we know him from his time under the street lamp and Jersey Boys, so he's always done the rock and roll kind of thing, at least that I know of. We're going to find out what this role is like. Chris, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Tom. It's great to join you.
Great to have you back. I just wish you were in the studio. You're so much fun to have live in the studio.
I know. I wish I could be there, too, but we are in the thick of rehearsals right now. I'm actually up in beautiful Wilmette, Illinois right now. We've got a rehearsal studio up here. We're going 10 to 6 today, and I'm just glad we were able to talk. But I'm bummed I can't be there in the studio with you.
Well, Stella Rose Hoyt was just on, and she sounds like a delightful young lady. As someone that's been in theater for years and has played Broadway, what's it like to work with young talents like her? As an adult actor,
it is fantastic. I'm constantly surprised by the amount of talent that these kids have. You know, I mean, she's been working for a number of years in the Chicago area, has played a number of large roles, so she's an old pro. You know, she gets her music and her lines down, and it's just been wonderful to work with her. And she'll give quite a performance, and she's in a lot of ways the heart of the show. You know, you kind of watch this journey through her eyes as we try to decide whether she decides to believe in Santa Claus or not. And it's a lot of fun.
What was Christmas like for you as a child?
What was it like for me as a child?
Mm-hmm. Tell me about a typical Christmas in your household. Now, you grew up in Hawaii, correct?
I did. I grew up in Hawaii. My grandfather was actually in the military, and he was stationed out in Hawaii where he met my grandmother. So my dad eventually settled out there to be close to his folks. And so I grew up through high school in Hawaii. So it was not typical snow-covered ground outside for my Christmas, I have to tell you.
Right, hanging ornaments on the palm trees.
That's exactly. We would. It's funny, you know, you wouldn't think this in Hawaii, but our house actually did have a fireplace, and we would just light it anytime it got below 50 degrees outside.
Wow. Now this, this is your first time acting at Theater at the Center. Now, again, I kind of read your credits there. You, Under the Street Lamp, Jersey Boys. Of course, Bobby Darin was amazing. I just loved your performance in that. I believed Bobby was in the house. His spirit was there. But this is a different kind of role, a different kind of performance for you. It's an ensemble cast, and it's not just singing songs. It's acting. It's going into a different character that you're used to going into. What's it like for you? Have you done a lot of musicals before? I mean, the ones we know you for, but this is your first time in Munster.
Yeah, you know, I have. It's when I finished going to school at Northwestern University up in Chicago. Moved on. Yeah, went up on to New York, and then I did shows for a good 5 or 6 years before I got the show Jersey Boys, which I already mentioned. I played Frankie Valli. And coming out of that show, I did a couple more musicals, and then my good friend Michael and I and a couple other guys decided to make a go of it with our own band Under the Street Lamp, and then went from there. So for me, at the end of last year, I kind of moved on from the band, and they're still touring the country, and so happy for them. But I wanted to do some more acting work and also some solo concert work, and so that's what kind of happened. I went and did the Bobby Darin show with Theater at the Center this past summer, and I've been able to kind of join them for this book musical, which has been great, and it's been really fun to play a role like this. I've had a little years now under my belt. I've got a beautiful wife and a daughter who's 5 years old, and so to play someone who's kind of in his late 30s, early 40s, and kind of dealing with what life is like at that stage in his life and career is something that's very close to me right now, and I've been really enjoying it.
Having a young daughter and playing in a musical like Miracle on 34th Street, you can relate to the magic in a child's eyes of Santa and Kris Kringle. How does your personal life impact you as an actor in this particular play? Because you experienced that. She's, what, 3-4 years old, your daughter?
My daughter, she's 5 now, actually.
5, okay.
She started school this year. Yeah, she's in kindergarten and loving it. And, there's a lot of impact on it. I think kind of at any stage of life, but particularly as you're a parent watching your kids grow up, and you're trying to provide the world for them, and, you react to kind of your circumstances and what's going on in your life. And it can be scary sometimes. And I think we always have the choice to either engage in life from a position of a belief and faith, or kind of relentless pragmatism. And that's a lot of what the discussion in this show is about. It's like, these are what we know to be true and what we know not to be true, and we just need to base our life on that. Or is there a place for faith? Is there a place for belief in our lives? If you're, in a certain point in your career, is there a reason to believe that things might go further? Is there a reason to believe that you might be able to have that next breakthrough in your finances or whatever it may be? And I think even though the show pivots around the question of Santa Claus, that sort of discussion is something that's very present for everyone, particularly around the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Now, you play the character of Fred Gailey, and he is encouraging Stella's character to believe, or at least keep her mind open to the fact that there are other things, that you should have faith that there is a Kris Kringle and he is the real Santa. And your character actually takes her to Macy's where she meets him.
That's correct.
Why is this role important to you? Why is this something you wanted to play? What drew you to this audition?
Well, I think the reason it's important to me is as someone who has made a transition in my career, kind of in my middle but middle stages of my life and career is it's present for me. The idea of what to believe in and what not to. It was when I was leaving the band at the end of last year, I was very excited for them to be moving forward, and we, had a great run, and they're continuing to do so, but I knew that there would be some challenges ahead, and it took a lot of faith for me to say, okay, well, you know what, I want to return to one of my first passions of acting, and I'm going to step out there, and hopefully, I'll be able to get into some of these theaters in Chicago. And I was able to do a production of Ragtime up at the Marriott Lincolnshire Theater, and that show just won the Jeff Award, the Chicago Area Theater Awards, for the best musical in a large house this past year. So, to have that sort of thing happen is very gratifying to see, like, oh, I had faith this could work out, and now I got to do that, and now I get to do this wonderful show for the holidays at Theater at the Center. And I get to be the voice of that sort of faith and belief that says, it's never too late. And a lot of times, good things can come from belief, and often it's the people who believe the hardest in something, despite what their circumstances may say, that end up kind of shaping the world and making it a better place.
Mm-hmm. Now, Stella had mentioned she was a fan of the remake movie. You're a little bit older, and I'm sure you remember Natalie Wood in the original. It was a seasonal favorite of everyone and is broadcast ad nauseum over the holidays. Are you a fan of that movie, and did you grow up watching that as well?
I'm ashamed to say I had never seen it all the way through until I got cast in this role. I had seen it, appear on the TV, and I knew of it, and I knew Natalie Wood was in it and a few of the other actors, but I never actually sat down and watched it straight through. And it's now become my favorite telling of this story. And actually, a lot of the screenwriter who wrote that movie, George Seaton, is actually the basis for which our script came from. So a lot of the lines are directly from that movie. A lot of it Oh. The scene work and so on is ripped directly from that. So if you're a fan of that movie, and it's also the basis of the remake that had them.
Right.
That came out in the 90s. So there is a lot of similarity there. But yeah, it's that one always has a warm place in my heart, and I feel like it just harkens back to kind of an older time. And they made a lot of choices in that movie to make it kind of a safe and secure place, you know. And I think that was nice. It was that, you know, America was coming out of the Second World War when that mm-hmm. movie was made and produced, and I think that they were also speaking to a little bit of uncertainty in the country, you know, when you've been through a long war like that. I think there's a lot that goes on, and I think that having a movie that speaks to, you know what, we can still believe in things, and we can still move forward, and we can still make this world a great place. And Santa Claus is real, you know.
Right, right. You got to believe.
A fun rally cry. That's right.
Now, do you remember growing up as a child, Christmas as a child, and seeing Santa, going to the local mall or the local park or wherever Santa was in Hawaii there, probably in his Speedos. But do you remember being a child and seeing Santa and believing and sitting on this guy's lap and saying, I want a train set, I want a comic book, I want this, I want that. The magic that you believed this guy would come down your chimney at a certain point and give you this wonderful gift because you were good all year. Do you remember what it felt like to do that?
Yeah, I definitely remember the anticipation of Christmas. I remember, you know, it just being this wonderful, magical holiday that would come every year. I remember going to a couple mall Santas and thinking, okay, this is where you... You know, I must have had a period in my life where I didn't know that wasn't the real Santa Claus. But the way I remember it is that I felt like these were the emissaries that took the messages to Santa. Mm. Like, there was a part of me, even as a kid, that's like, I don't think you're the real guy, because you seem to be this guy in a mall, but you're the guy who tells the real guy. So I got to make sure I tell you what it is for real.
And we see you here, and then we see you down the street too. So how do you right. do that?
Right. And I think that we actually talk about that a little bit in this musical as well. There's a bit in the courtroom where there's like, well, like, how can you say this guy's a Santa Claus? There's a Santa Claus in every corner. And they say, well, there may be one in every corner, but this guy, the twinkle in his eye, the way he is, and he, you know, this character of Kris Kringle, whether you believe he's Santa Claus or not, he does carry that character with him wherever he goes. That's who mm-hmm. he is in real life. And he's this, you know, bringer of joy and love wherever he goes. So that is addressed. But it's funny that that was kind of my experience. It's like, I'm not sure you're the guy, but I do think that you tell the guy. So I gotta make sure I'm good, and I gotta make sure I tell you what I want.
For those that aren't familiar with Miracle on 34th Street, this is it's a very complex piece because it not only deals with the magic of Christmas and Santa Claus and Kris Kringle and is he real or is he not real, it deals with the family dynamic, and it also deals with something that really you should never do at the holidays, and that is sue Santa Claus, basically. I mean, there's litigation to decide whether he truly is Kris Kringle is Santa Claus. I mean, it becomes a drawn-out legal thing. And you don't think of that at Christmas time. Yeah. I thought this was a very unique way of writing this story. I mean, it's unlike any other Christmas story out there because of the legal ramifications of this man insisting who he is.
Right. Absolutely. You know, he doesn't make any bones about it. He says he's the real Santa Claus, and he's hired by Macy's to be their Santa Claus, and there's a Macy's psychologist who interviews him and honestly is kind of a grumpy, curmudgeon-y psychologist, and he, you know, Santa comes in full of joy, and he just finds him to be ridiculous, and so he makes it his mission to get him committed, mm-hmm. and when he does so, you know, the person who hired him on, Doris Walker, you know, goes to the judge and says, can we please not have him committed? If he's, you know, he's wonderful and we want him here. And so they decide to have this whole hearing as to, well, eventually, once they get through a few scenes, they decide either he's crazy or he's Santa Claus. So we've got to come down on one side of that argument or the other. And it's interesting to see the story that unfolds from there.
All right. Kris Kringle sings a song called Here's Love. And we're going to talk about the confusing aspect of Miracle. It's gone under many names over the years with the musical version. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But here is a cut from the original Broadway cast recording. Lawrence Naismith playing the role of Kris Kringle in this. And Here's Love. More with Christopher after this.
Here's Love. From me to you and you to me. From people to people, wherever they may be. From the high and the mighty, to the meek who inherit the earth. Miami to Los Angeles, and Dallas to Fort Worth. CBS to NBC. From people with say-so, to those who disagree. From the chip on the shoulder of the younger to the older, here's love, here's love. From the ground floor apartment to the party just above, here's love, love, love. Neighbor white to neighbor brown,
from all of the home folks
to folks from out of town.
From the Frenchmen to the rest of us,
Chinese to each other as well,
Cuban to the Cuban,
and the devil to Fidel,
JFK
to U.S. Steel,
from Jolly Nikita
to Norman Vincent Peale,
from the bells in the steeple to a bunch of sleepy people. Here's love, here's love.
From the girl left behind you
to the girl you're dreaming of.
Here's love, love, love.
All the dogs to all the cats, from teacher to pupil,
the Navy Hudson Great to Annapolis Blue,
Shamrocks to the Orange Land,
and Hope to Old Purdue,
L&M
to Lucky Strike,
from all of the Birchers to Mamie's darling Ike,
from the pitchers to the hitters,
from the babies to the sitters.
Here's love, here's love.
From the car with the bumper to the car that needs a shop.
Donald Duck, come on, children.
To Mickey Mouse,
from Hansel and Gretel to that kooky country house,
from Simple Simon to the Pony,
from the Calico Cat to the Pup,
for Humpty Dumpty to the Fool that broke him up.
Little boys
to little girls with gummy their pigtails and taffy in their curls,
from Cinderella and her blisters with a room to all my sisters.
Here's love, love, love,
love. La 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 la. Here's love, love, love.
All the help to all the brass, the cop in the springtime,
the people on the grass,
from the Congress to the Pentagon,
the elephant to the mahout,
10 oranges to crown the one she tries to drown them out.
Husband's false, the husband's true.
Elizabeth Taylor,
the husband's in review.
From Rosh Hashanah to Easter and from Lent to Tisha B'Av.
Here's Love. That is the Kris Kringle character, and that's off the original Broadway recording. Kris, can you help me out? Is that 62, 63?
It was 63, actually. Yeah, it came out the show in October of 63, and it ran for about 9 months before it closed in 1964.
All right. Now, didn't that originally start locally at the Schubert in Chicago?
You know what? That I don't know. I'm not sure. That most likely had an out-of-town tryout somewhere, and it would not surprise me if it was in Chicago, but I do not know.
Okay. Now, this is interesting because I got very confused. Now, I'm very familiar with the movie Miracle on 34th Street, and I started looking into the musical, which I was not as familiar with, and I'd heard of it, and I started to look for soundtrack recordings and things to prepare so we could share some music together today, and I couldn't find anything. And then your director, Linda Fortunato, said, oh, no, no, it used to be called something else. It was called Here's Love. And I'm like, what? So she said, you have a little history on that. Why was the name changed on this? It was based on the book and the film, I understand, but they didn't call it Miracle on 34th Street.
Yes, you know, and here's the thing. I'm not sure if I can give you the chronology of it. I'm not sure all the details behind it. My guess is that the movie, you know, when it came out, held on to the rights and didn't want, you know, oftentimes with a product like that, you want to make sure that your product isn't confused with another. And since they knew that there would be some original material happening in the musical, which was originally called Here's Love, because Meredith Wilson, of Music Man fame, wrote the music for Here's Love. And since they knew that the songs and such would be adding an original element to it, I think they didn't want confusion in the marketplace. So they held on to the patent on the name, Miracle on 34th Street. So when the show came out on Broadway, they called it Here's Love, based on that song there and based on, you know, Santa Claus's desire to bring love to the world. And then it went through kind of a transition. They've done this show that you know, was called Here's Love for a long time. Well, the last time that Theater at the Center did this show, which they actually did back in 2010, enough time had passed that the owners of the property realized, well, it's going to make more sense if we name this something that's more Christmas-oriented because people don't really know what Here's Love is anymore. So they changed the title of the show to It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. So that was the name of the show the last time that it was presented at Theater at the Center, and then what we think happened is eventually that patent on the title from the 1947 movie expired or allowed, made some allowances, and so now the musical is finally being able to call itself Miracle on 34th Street. So this is the first time that the musical is actually being able being presented underneath that title, at least here at Theater at the Center, and I believe in the Chicago area.
Wow, it was very confusing. I've got to think that has to hurt ticket sales when it was earlier on going under Here's Love or It's Beginning to Look like Christmas. I mean, how do you explain? Well, it's actually the story of 34th, you know, the Miracle on 34th Street, but we can't say that. So the right. General public that might love the movie and want to see a musical version of it may have missed the boat completely until now. So I'm imagining that you guys are going to see a resurgence of interest because of the fact it's recognizable now.
I sure hope so. I think because it definitely is the same story as the movie, and we would love to have people who love that movie, whether it's the one they saw in the 90s or the original from 1947. We'd love to have people like that come out and see a live presentation of it.
Now, what are your thoughts on the songs? Obviously, the movie is established. The storyline is established. Now you've got to plug songs in. And certain books and certain films, you can do that easily enough in because it makes sense. And other ones, just throwing a song in for a song's sake makes it almost like an Elvis movie. It's like, why is he singing that song now? You know,
right.
So it's how do you think this fits as far as being adapted to a musical?
Sure. Well, I think it fits pretty well. You know, the nice thing is that, you know, on a live performance level, it gives it an extra element of heightened excitement for an audience member because we'll have a band playing, all the people singing. And so it also gives the people, when they were writing the show, the opportunity to kind of expand upon parts of the show that maybe were portrayed differently in a movie or would have to be portrayed differently on the stage. So we have a big number at the beginning of the musical, similar to the movie, where we're at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and you know they have all these large balloons, and that's dated back for decades now. And so we have this big number called Big Clown Balloon that starts the first scene in the show, where everyone's kind of gathering, and you've got the balloons amassing, and everyone's getting together for this exciting Thanksgiving Day Parade, which for many people, I think in the country. It's kind of when that day happens, and particularly in some cases when that parade happens, it's kind of the inauguration of the Christmas season. Most people think, okay, well, we've got this Thanksgiving holiday, and then it's Christmas, Christmas, Christmas until it's New Year's. And so
right.
I think that it's smart of the movie that they started there, and I think fits well with the musical. We've got that great number there, and then we have these other numbers that kind of allow us to deepen character development in a way that isn't always possible with dialogue. So for me, with Susie, you know, I meet this young girl who lives with her single mother next door to me, And that's, you know, Stella Rose Hoyt plays that part, and you just talk to her. And, you know, I'm trying to get her to enjoy the spirit of Christmas and introduce her to Santa Claus, as you mentioned, and I'll take her to the park, and I'm just asking her what she wants for Christmas. And she and I, talk for a while, and clearly it's just evident to the audience that they're falling in love with each other, that, you know, she's falling in love with him as his father figure, and he can't help but fall in love with her charms. And, you know, he finds out that her birthday is actually on Christmas, Christmas Eve, I believe. And then he says, well, that's a bummer, because you probably don't get two different presents every year. It just gets all lumped in. So he said, yes, and he's actually never had a birthday party. And so he said, well, did you ever get a birthday card? She said, well, I sent one to myself once. And so she just made up her own card and sent it to her. And so they begin to sing this song. It's like that basically exemplifies what he would have sent to her if he had sent her a birthday card on her birthday, which happens to fall right near Christmas. And that song is called My Wish. And so it's the two of them singing in a park, and you can see them. You can just see them kind of fall in love as that song goes on. And so I think moments like that allow music to deepen the story that's already being told through the words.
Now, your character Fred is the love interest of her mom, Doris Walker, correct, in this?
Yes, although you could say for a good part of the first half of the show, he's the hate interest for her.
Yeah, it seemed like a strained relationship in the movie, and then all of a sudden, somehow the magic happened, and they were, like, together.
Yeah, well, this, you know, kind of goes back to that back and forth between, you know, pragmatism and realism and faith, because she's been hurt. You know, it comes out in the story, and this is similar in the movie, that she, you know, was with a man and, you know, very much in love with him and got pregnant with her daughter. And then as soon as the daughter was born, the man left. And, you know, a lot of us, that's how we kind of make our toughest choices in life is responding to pain. And she had a lot of pain around that. So she decided, listen, I'm not going to believe in fairy tales anymore. I'm not going to believe in anything that is real. So, you know, I'm going to raise my daughter that way. I'm going to tell her, look, this is a man in a costume. This is not, you know, Santa Claus. Santa Claus, in fact, isn't real. No one, you know, brings you presents for the North Pole. Anything you want, you ask me, and I will buy you a present. But there's no, you know, she basically, you know, teaches her in a way that she thinks will protect her daughter because it's all, you know, factual and real.
Right.
And my character kind of comes in to hopefully, in a good way, drive a wedge into that. You know, there's also a place for belief and faith. And while truth and facts are necessary and important, we can also have a little place in here for what might be and what could be, and love and faith. And so that it's interesting. So they do end up having kind of a love story between them, but for a good part of the play, it's the two of them kind of butting heads.
I find it interesting that your character, again, Fred Gailey, is, and again, this was originally released in 1947. The war was still fresh. His character is an ex-Marine. So here you're coming back from World War II, seeing all the atrocities. You're an ex-Marine, and yet you're the one that doesn't have the armor on. The mother who's been here does. You are looking, I think, as your character is looking for some kind of magic, something, again, to believe in, something to take him back to a more innocent time, perhaps. How did you, Christopher, as an actor, get into this character of Fred Gailey and understand the complexity of, here's a guy who's coming back from this horrible war, and this is a joyous family time. He's on his own, he's battle-scarred, and he meets this cynical woman. It just seems like there's all these negativities, and somehow he turns this into a beautiful positive.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. My grandfather was a Marine around that time, and I think the ones who kind of made it through and passed their service the most successfully were the ones who had most deeply something to believe in. For a lot of people, it was patriotism, believing in the country that, you know, that they were serving and in what they were doing and in the goals they were trying to accomplish, and, you know, stemming from the commander in chief down. And for others, you know, it was faith, and there have been many movies about people of faith who have been in the military and so on. And I think, and there's also been a lot of movies about people who lost their faith when they were serving in the military. You know, we've seen, you know, a lot of those, particularly out of the 60s and 70s that came out. And so that's why it's easier for me as an actor to kind of base my portrayal of him being someone who holds tightly to his faith, because I think that's his chosen reaction to opposition. I think that when things don't go his way, when circumstances don't go in his favor, he chooses to hold tight to his beliefs and his faith and to push forward regardless. You know, there's a line in the show when Doris, kind of the voice of realism and pragmatism, is actually talking to Kris Kringle, and he tells her that that faith is believing in something when your common sense tells you not to. And that's very similar to one of my favorite scriptures, actually, which is faith is the substance of things you can't see. Mm. And I think that, you know, that for Fred, when he can't see the thing that he, you know, believes in coming to be, he doubles down on his faith. And someone like Doris says, well, this is, you know, this is what we can see. And it says this, and it says that we shouldn't believe in this. So we've got to do this. But what's interesting from that is it's not like either viewpoint saves you from pain. You know,
right.
Believing in faith when your circumstances are going against you, it could be a painful thing, but it's also painful to accept everything around you as fact and to deal with the disappointments that brings you.
Again, if you just tuned in, we are talking to Christopher Colley Jones. He is one of the lead actors in Miracle on 34th Street, the musical, and it's opening at Theater at the Center in Munster, right there on Ridge Road, on November 18th. So that's only about two and a half weeks away from opening. This is your second rehearsal today. You're calling us from rehearsal, and we had your co-star Stella Rose Hoyt joining us earlier, and she said this is the beginning of the second day of rehearsal. How much time does it take you as an actor and Linda as a director and a cast as an ensemble to finally get all the wheels meshing together properly?
Absolutely. Well, let me make a quick correction first.
Okay.
It is definitely Stella's second day. See, our director very wisely decided to allow the children to have Halloween off. So we didn't have any kids in rehearsal on Halloween, but I've been rehearsing since Tuesday. So this is my fourth day, but it's still a pretty quick process. You know, We will probably get through. We'll definitely get through the whole show in about 2 weeks. By the end of next week, we'll be running the show, and then we'll be starting on our technical elements and adding in all the costumes and the props and the sets and everything like that. So we, in general, we'll learn about a whole act of the show, about an hour's worth of stage time, in about 4 to 5 days, and then around the fifth or sixth day, we'll run that and make sure we've got it as good as we can, and then we'll move on to the next act and do the same thing. So it's a quick process, and that's one reason why we really enjoy the preview process, too, because once you finally get through that and get it all memorized and ready to go, the audiences start coming, and then they inform you of the parts of the show that are really working well and things you can tweak a little bit, and it's always wonderful to have people in those seats to come and start to see what you've been working on for, mm-hmm. for 2.5-3 weeks.
Now, Linda is the director and choreographer of this particular production. She's also the Theater Center's artistic director. And I had asked Stella to tell me about what it was like to work with someone that has so many awards and accolades. You yourself have worked with many people of that stature that have had top awards and are the top in their craft. What do you bring away from working with someone like Linda? Stella, being a newer actress, said that it allows her to, you know, add to her character and have some thoughts in it and comments on it. What's it like for you to work with Linda? Because she's quite established now in the Northwest Indiana area and has the respect of so many people. Tell me a little bit about working with her.
Oh, it's been wonderful. You know, I have a huge amount of respect for Linda. We actually, when I was back at Northwestern University before I left to go to New York, you know, several years ago, we'd actually worked together in a production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and we were both actors in it. So for me, it's nice to be able to revisit working with her now with her as director. But you know, in the room, when you're putting something together like this, the atmosphere and the feeling and what goes on in the room definitely flows from the top down. So if you don't have someone in the seat of command as the director who knows what they're doing and who brings a great spirit to it, it can be a tough thing. And Linda's wonderful. You know, we're telling a story that has such magnificent warmth and excitement about it, and she brings that to the room every day. She's ready to go, and she's warm, and she's exciting. She listens to all the voices in the room, which is not a common thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You want a director who knows what they want to do, and thankfully we have that at Linda, but often what comes along with that when you know what you want to do it's hard to hear other opinions, you know, because often the director will have been working on something for several months before the actors come in the room and will have a very clear idea of what they want to do. And if an actor says, well, you know, I think this might actually expand the character a little more if I deliver the line this way or if I walk over here, a lot of times that won't be given any credence by a director who's really set on what they want to do. And, mm-hmm. and Linda is wonderful in that she has a very specific idea of what she wants in mind, but she's always open to any feedback or anything anyone wants to bring to the table. And she's assembled just a wonderful cast. You know, it's kind of like being a family when you do a show like this, because you all get together and you do this very intense thing for several weeks, and then you put the show up, and then you're running with it for a couple months, and these people you get close to. It's like a workplace, but it's a workplplace where you're creating art and magic in a lot mm-hmm. of ways, and so it kind of brings you close together. And she's assembled people who are warm people, who are easy to work with, who are talented and bring great ideas to the table. And I think that that part of her job, just bringing those people together, was incredible. And then what she's leading currently and getting us all together on the same page with the show is great. She's truly great at what she does. She justifiably deserves the position of the artistic director there at Theater at the Center. And it's a pleasure to be able to get to know her better through this process.
Well, she is in her third season there, and Theater at the Center is an amazing room here in the heart of Northwest Indiana. A lot of folks may not be familiar with it, and I don't understand how it's been there for a couple of decades now. We're going to talk a little more about the theater. We're going to talk about the set, and we're going to find out what Christopher is up to next. But first, let's go back to another song from the original Broadway play. This one features the character of Mr. Macy himself. This is Paul Reed singing, and we'll be back with Christopher Colley Jones after this.
Fat man over there is Santa Claus. I know, I know, I know. I can tell by the crinkle on the bridge of his nose, the wink of his eye, and the twinkle of his toes, and the joy wherever he goes. That man is he. I don't care if every other corner has a Santa Claus standing there. I don't care. Short or tall or round or fat or slim, I'm aware of the many other Santas everywhere. I'm aware, but that one over there represents them all as they represent him. That man over there is Santa Claus. I know, I know, I know. I can tell by the crinkle on the ridge of his nose, the wink of his eye, and the twinkle of his toes, and the joy wherever he goes. That man is he.
That man over there.
I can tell by the jingle in his voice like a bell, bright as the holly in his coat lapel, and the joy he spreads as well. That man is he. I don't care if every other corner has a Santa Claus standing there. I don't care. Down with Scrooge and up with Tiny Tim. I'm aware of the many other Santas everywhere, but I don't care, 'cause that one over there represents them all as they represent him.
That man over there is Santa Claus. I know, I know, I know.
I can tell by the crinkle on the bridge of his nose, the wink of his eye, and the twinkle of his toes,
and the joy wherever he goes.
That man is
he.
That man over there, he's a guy with the beard and a tassel on his head and all that fun stuff. This is a song off the Broadway recording, the original Broadway recording of this amazing new musical, Miracle on 34th Street, the musical, coming to Theater at the Center in Munster on Ridge Road on November 18th. It opens, and this time it is actually being called The Miracle on 34th Street. Not to be confused with some of the other titles, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas and Here's Love and all the other things. So focus, folks, that this is the movie. This is the musical of the movie that we all grew up with watching, whether it was the 90s or whether it was the 40s or 50s. It's the story of Kris Kringle. And is he real? Is he not? Well, the decision will have to ultimately be made by everyone in every seat in the theater. It's just over 400 seats. I think it's 410 seats, if my memory serves, at Theater at the Center. And one of the amazing things about this theater is that the sight lines from any seat are beautiful. You are literally in the best seat in the house, no matter where you're sitting. And the acoustics in that room were designed so well that it works, whether it's a theater production, an acoustic concert, comedians, anything works in that room perfectly. And it's got plenty of parking, and the parking is free. And again, it's at 1040 Ridge Road in Munster, Indiana. It is a jewel of a venue, and it is the only equity venue for theater in Northwest Indiana, which says a lot because that means we are getting the cream of the crop of talent. These are paid folks that do this for a living, so you know they got to be good. My guest right now, this part of the show, is Christopher Colley Jones. Speaking of professionals, this guy has played all over the country. He's done major shows. He's here doing his first acting debut at Theater at the Center, but certainly not his first time walking the boards there. Recently seen in Darren, Bobby's Biggest Hits. You've got another show coming up. You and Michael Ingersoll are going to do some kind of song and dance thing, I understand. Tell us a little about that.
That's right. So Michael and I, we've been friends for years. We did Jersey Boys together on the First National Tour, and then both broke off and did our group Under the Street Lamp, which we filmed at the Star Plaza, which sadly is no longer. But I'm grateful, like you said, for theaters like Theater at the Center that are picking up the slack, that are providing quality entertainment to Northwest Indiana in the absence of losing that kind of giant in the theater world. And it's important what you said about it being the only equity house in the Northwest Indiana area. If they didn't have an equity contract, I wouldn't be able to work there because I am a member of the Actors Union, Actors Equity. And so it is great that they can bring in people that are of a professional quality, that have been kind of touring, doing other things that might not otherwise be able to perform there for the audiences. So I'm very grateful that there's a space like that there. But yes, so Michael and I have been together as friends for a while, and we put together this show last year, and we put it up just kind of on a lark, and it went very well. People enjoyed it, and so he and I get together and we sing kind of a lot of our. The impetus was to kind of celebrate friendship and celebrate groups that were two guys or more who kind of had a brotherhood together. And so we called the show Lean On Me, the Brotherhood of Rock. And we focused on the Everly Brothers, the Righteous Brothers, and a lot of these groups that span past just the 50s and 60s, which we tend to cover when we did Under the Street Lamp, but not too far past. So we hit a little bit into the 60s and 70s, but kind of also
Little Simon and Garfunkel, maybe? Little Simon and Garfunkel?
You know what? We were in the process of making edits now, so we might be adding in one of those. I don't think we have one in there right now, but I love Simon Garfunkel.
Can't go wrong there. Maybe a little Jan and Dean in there, too, to get the surf music going. But you mentioned about the brotherhood and the relationship. I'm sure you know that the Everly Brothers had a very contentious relationship. I had the opportunity to work with them in the 80s, and it was quite the experience. So it wasn't all fun and love and rainbows and puppy dogs with some of these duos. And do you bring that aspect out as well, or do you stay focused on the positivity and the music?
Well, at this point, we're staying focused on the positivity. Mike and I tend to live out the negative behind the scenes, so we'll keep the positive on the stage. No, you know, we've been friends for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, every friendship is ups and downs, but I truly consider him one of my best friends. It's a pleasure to be able to create something with someone that you've worked with on a creative level for so long. So the nice thing about that is Michael and I have a shorthand working with each other. You know, when we approach a song, when we approach arrangements, when we get musicians together, we've just been doing it for so long together that it's easier to get to kind of a good, high-quality product a lot faster, just because we kind of know, oh, no, we tried that 5 times, that never worked, so let's do this, and let's tweak this. And fortunately, the first time we did it, people really enjoyed it, and already, from what they've been telling me at Theater at the Center, there have been a bunch of you wonderful people out there who are coming to the show, so I'm so grateful.
When is that show?
I don't have the exact date on me, unfortunately. I left my notes back at the rehearsal hall, but it will be in April.
Okay. April of 2019. And again, Bobby Darin, Bobby's Biggest Hits, that was produced by Michael. He's got his company and brings all these amazing life stories of these legends, Ella Fitzgerald, Aretha Franklin, Elvis, Bobby Darin. Are you doing... the Darin show still, is that over now, or are you still continuing it?
No, I still continue it. It's a constant balance between doing theatrical work and having time to do the concert work. So Michael had already kind of booked this this show with the two of us at Theater at the Center in April, and then a couple other places. And so I'm focusing more on that for April. And then we've got some windows coming up next year where we're going to do some more Bobby Darin show. But I just did a week of the Bobby Darin show in St. Louis, and it went very well. It was nice to actually do it down there. And while I was there, I didn't realize that they have the Transportation Museum down in the St. Louis area, and they have Bobby Darin's famous car there. I don't know if you know his history, but he actually had a car that was custom made that in the day I think was like a $500,000 car, which now would be worth, you know, multi-millions of dollars.
Wow.
And so they have it there preserved, and I got to take a picture with it. It was such a blast.
Cool. Now, speaking of music, one of the things that's unique about Theater at the Center, in most cases, I don't want to lock Linda into that, but in most cases, you guys work with a live band, a live combo, a live orchestra in some cases. Is that the case with the newest production that you're doing, Miracle on 34th Street, the musical? Is it tracked or is it live music?
Yes, it's definitely live music. I forget the exact number of musicians that we have, but Bill Underwood here he's the musical director. He's been at our rehearsals. He's at length now live with us as we work through these songs. But he will have a band that he is conducting, and we will be singing along with, which is great. And another thing I mentioned about Linda, which I didn't get to mention before, is because she also has such a rich history as a choreographer, is that the movement in this show is just so exciting. We have a number toward the end of the first act where Susan is allowing herself to kind of use her imagination for the first time after encouragement from Kris Kringle. And she has this whole song where all these toys that she loves comes to life. And so we have all these actors come on stage, and one's a rag doll and one's a pilot. And then we have a couple others that are different kinds of dolls, and they have all this wonderful movement that comes to life. It reminds you a little bit of something like the Nutcracker, where you see these commonplace toys and items come to life inhabited by people, and it's really beautiful. And there's a number of choreographic moments like that throughout the show that, you know, the movement really helps to support the plot. We just worked on one this morning where I'm singing a song with a bunch of my poker buddies, and we get to do a little bit of dancing in that as well, which is great.
Now, it amazed me when I saw, obviously I had seen you in Under the Street Lamp, and I know you guys choreographed a little bit there as a unit, but when you did the Bobby Darin show, you were pretty fleet on your feet there. I mean, you were impressive as a dancer as well as a singer and a performer and an entertainer. The dancing side, is that something that you're comfortable doing? I mean, you seem very natural at it. Do you have a history of that?
I will say it's something I love doing. It's not always something I'm the most comfortable doing just because I'm very conscious. My mom was a dancer, and she helped to kind of nurture me as a young artist when I was younger, and so I've always had a high amount of respect for people who were dancers first and foremost. And you know, I know a lot of people in the industry who are just incredible dancers. But I love to dance, so when I get a chance, it's great. And I'll go into go in for shows in and around the Chicago and Indiana area where I'll go to dance calls, and I always have a blast. So I do enjoy the experience. In terms of comfort level, if I had to go in and do some sort of ballet number, I don't think anyone would want to watch that. Probably would not be the best thing. You want to save that for Baryshnikov.
All right. Miracle on 34th Street, the musical. It opens November 18th at Theater at the Center in Munster. The live band performing, live entertainment, Equity House, top shelf entertainers. Is there one other thing that I want to bring up briefly, and that is Theater at the Center is known for its sets. When they did Big River, they literally had a river on stage. You believed it in your mind's eye. What is the set like for this? Is it a static set where it all takes place in the store, or do they change scenes?
It's a little bit of both, actually. They have a beautiful kind of storefront of Macy's, which we just saw the kind of the renderings of, and it's going to be gorgeous, which really kind of takes you back to the time where it's still, you can still go to New York today and they have these big kind of picture box windows where you can see these, scenes from life, but it's very similar to the musical. And then in the 40s, it was even more so. And so we have these kind of glass doors that have and windows that you can see kind of the different set pieces behind them, and it looks like, something set up for a storefront. And then as the scenes happen, the actors go back into, what we think are these picture box windows, and they pull out the set pieces. And so we have our sets that happen downstage in front of the store itself. So it's really an imaginative way to kind of have the store as always kind of a consistent presence in the show, but also unfolded and bring into these into the audience for these other scenes and set pieces.
Okay. Theater of the Center is at 1040 Ridge Road in Munster. Again, a beautiful venue. It's the pride of Northwest Indiana. It has definitely stepped up its productions and its calendar since the Star Plaza Theater sadly left us. But they are carrying on the good fight with great talent, like Christopher Colley Jones, who is our guest today, along with Stella Rose Hoyt. And just get in touch with them at theateratthecenter.com. You can get your tickets, get information. And they've got a great calendar coming up. So, Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course, Tom. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Always good to talk to you.
All right. We're going to leave with a song that you felt was a good closer, and that is the song you mentioned earlier, My Wish. Is there a little brief intro you can do for this, and we're going to play it?
Of course. Absolutely. This song is called My Wish. It's my wish for our audience. It's just a hope that I have for you in this holiday season, and I hope you get a chance to come out and join us.
All right. Thank you so much. This is Midwest Beats, and you're listening to Lakeshore. Here is My Wish and Chris's wish for you.
May your hopes be as high as the sky's highest star. May your star be as bright as your smile. May your smile be as warm as your place in the sun. May your place in the sun bring you peace. May the peace in your heart give you joy in your heart. May your heart know the meaning of love. May the love you will know when you know you're in love be forever and ever as true as the love I have the peace in your heart.
May the peace in your heart
give you joy in your heart.
Give you joy in your heart.
May your heart know the meaning of love.
Of love.
May the love you will know.
May the love you will know.
When you know you're in love. Be forever and ever as true
as true.
As